Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, Mindscape artists. This is Candy, your host, and Dora Jones and I are at it again. We can hardly wait until our conversation, because when we talk, we, no matter what subject we are on, we always end up talking about relationships. So, our topic tonight is going to be how women determine the quality of their relationships. Now, this may not just need to be a one-time conversation. I think it needs to be an ongoing conversation so that people can have a chance to comment on it, because I'm really curious to hear what people have to say. So without further ado, I'm going to bring in Dora Jones, and we're going to have our conversation starting now. Dora, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Well, great. We get to do our favorite thing. How's your week been going?
It's been very good.
Good. Well, how have you been doing during this quarantine? How's your quarantine experience been going?
Well, it depends. It's looking at it through so many different lens, and remaining loyal to the truth. And so when I look out, I don't see much of that. However, it's okay, because it's just a leaf. It's just a page in a book.
Right.
We'll soon turn to we'll soon be at another page.
Mm-hmm.
And we will probably forget what we said we were going to do on this page.
Wow.
And then when it happens again, we will go back to what? Like this never happened before. So since I've been here on this planet, many moons, I've seen a lot of this. And what's unique about this one is technology and the digital. Devices. But it's the same tune, same song, the same players, the same plot. See, so it's kind of boring. I'm bored with it.
Right.
Once you figure it out, it's like boring. What's next? So
right.
I'm bored with it.
You're bored.
But I see
yeah.
a lot of people are just really not bored with it. I'm bored looking at all the different design of masks, the handcuffs on the hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's boring.
Wow.
I don't find it exciting at all.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
boring.
Redundant. Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah.
I thought by now we would have said, okay, enough. But
right.
We haven't. I thought by now we would have had a commercial, and we would be onto something else by now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because we're such a throwaway country anyway. I thought by now we would have recycled this and thrown it away like we do everything else.
No, it looks like this is going to be it, and they say this is it until what? 2022.
Oh,
so it looks like they're going to be replaying this for a long, long time.
A long time. It's going to take us that long to realize that this is a repeat.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So we are slow.
Yes, it's going to take a while before Well, it'll take a while before people realize, when the dust clears. I don't think it's going to take that long for the dust to clear. Yeah, but when the dust clears, then there may be a new conversation going on.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Maybe.
We'll see what that looks like.
Yeah, we will. I've lived through so many of them that are the same plot to the story.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. There's nothing new.
It's yeah.
That's why I'm so bored. You get excited over, are we doing this again? Oh, Lord, we are slow.
Yeah, continuing to play out the same patterns, which is what people do when they live in fear, just
yeah.
replaying the same thing over and over for fear that something's going to happen, and then they create it and then wonder why it happened.
I know.
Wow.
There's a universal law around that. And
yeah.
It's just, we are, okay.
So,
all right.
Answer this. Why can't we repeat the pattern of love? What is going on where we can repeat the pattern of fear, but we find it hard to repeat the pattern of love? Why is it that we are not able to repeat the pattern of love?
We have not come to the realization that we've been duped.
Wow.
We've been lied to. We've been conned. And we love gambling. So none of that is under the heading of love. So we are addicted to the con. I get you before you get me. I want something for nothing. I got to make sure I get more than you. So the addictions that we have to the thrill of trying to get over, I don't want to. It's like a man. I would say I love her, but she needs to say I love you first. See,
right.
What if
right.
I say I love her and she doesn't say I love you back? Or what if I tell him I love him and he doesn't say it back to me?
Yes.
So we are creatures, and we are creatures. We are creatures that mimic behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And bad behavior, it seems to be what's in front of us. It's in the media.
Mm-hmm.
And we, because that's how we learn. We are these kind of creatures. It's in nature. It's in the animal world. And, you know, we came from that world. So we have that DNA in us to be imitated.
Right.
So to step out of line and say, well, I'm going to choose something else, it means that you may be excommunicated and isolated, and we don't do well in isolation. So I gotta have my gear on when I go out, and I can't go out without this gear because they're gonna be looking at me like I'm crazy. So
right.
No, I gotta put mine on even if it's not doing anything. I need to add mine because I want to be part of. The con is the con, and it's hard for human beings to admit that we are cons, artists, and that we've been duped. And we are gamblers by nature.
So what's the way out?
We
got to
get over those.
Yeah, what's the way out of all of that?
We need some updates. We need about...
right.
We need some brave. We need some brave people on the planet that says, well, I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make sense to me. And it's about 5% of that population is on the planet, but they're so scattered, you don't see them.
Mm-hmm.
They carry a lot of information. It is not based on fear either. It's really on the truth. It's on how things really work. It's on real things and how things really work. But
right.
that's, we don't have, you know what I'm saying? It's we need people. We need 5%. Okay, think about this. The person that you are right now, where you are right now, there are at least 20 people thinking and believing similar to yours.
Mm-hmm.
Can you name those 20 people?
Not 20.
Okay.
No.
100 more?
No, no. I can name about 5.
You can name 5, okay. So they are, so think about this. That 5% should know 5%. And it goes on. And that is what really supposed to give a hope. Is
mm-hmm.
I'm really not alone. There are at least 5 other people like me.
All right.
And each one of those 5 should have 5 more.
Mm-hmm.
And then that will, you know, that that degree of separation that we have.
Yes.
Well, we can see that with the markers in the store where they tell you to stay, step away, you're too close to the vehicle. You know, you go to the store now.
Yes.
Step away, you're too close to the vehicle. We just step away, you know.
Right, right.
Oh, life, how repressed. We are really repressed. Okay.
Our objects in there are closer than they appear.
Yeah, and we don't think anything about that. We just bow down to it and keep going, and we just go right on. But there's a 5% of the population that says, that doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. That's all they say. It doesn't make sense.
You know, I was thinking, well, I'm always thinking, of course, but mm-hmm. I was thinking when people talk about intelligence, and
mm-hmm.
I think we use that word, we give that word more credit than we should, because I have found
mm-hmm.
that it's not intelligence that makes us smart. It's curiosity and creativity, and I notice that when people are really curious, they
mm-hmm.
seek to connect the dots.
Mm-hmm.
But if people are intelligent alone and they think that they know, they don't look any further than the tip of their nose because they're like, oh, I already know that, I already know that, I already know that. But those who have a creative mind, a pliable mind, a mutable mind, and very curious, will look at a bird and see how that bird interacts and say, wow, I see myself in that bird, or I see some commonalities in that bird, or I saw a situation today that reminded me of the bird. And if you look long enough and you connect a dot between you and the bird or the situation and the bird, you come to this aha moment where you're like, oh my God, I never thought of that before. And you begin to see things that you never saw or never noticed. And you begin to apply it, and you say, oh, my goodness, I learned a lesson. Who
mm-hmm.
would have thought, you know? But people don't think like that. People hear one thing, and they just play it over and over and over and over and over, and they never go anywhere with it. And if you try to bring some expansion to that one thing, they get angry with you, they argue with you, they tell you you're crazy, oh, that doesn't have anything to do with that, and this doesn't have anything to, they never see how really and truly all things are connected. And once you know all things are truly connected, it's like it's a never-ending unfolding into something that's always useful if you allow it, you know. And I think that's what's missing, just as an example of when someone says wear a mask. Because I remember, like, when I had my asthma attack, and they were like, well, during, you know, while you're cleaning, you need to wear a mask. While you are maybe out in the elements that you have a known allergic reaction to, you might want to wear a mask. And there were a couple occasions I forgot to wear a mask while I was dusting and ended up in the hospital, blah, blah, blah. It's a long story. So fast forward to this where I wore a mask for various reasons, because it's kind of like a season for me, and I began to get lightheaded. I was like, I have to take this off, right? What am I doing? I'm killing myself, right? And so I was like, okay, this can't be right, because I am supposed to be allowing this oxygen to escape. So I took the mask off. And, of course, I was walking around, and people were like, oh, my God, you don't have a mask on. It wasn't that I really didn't want to wear the mask. It wasn't even a conscious thing, like, oh, I can't stand wearing this mask. It really just didn't make sense to me to wear it, because I was getting lightheaded, right? So then this alternative doctor, who I listened to a lot of alternative stuff, and he was like, well, actually, with COVID going around, and it resembles a high altitude disease, and high altitude disease thrives on high levels of carbon dioxide. And if you wear a mask and you're not allowing those carbon dioxide gases, to those CO2s, to expel themselves, you're filling yourself up with carbon dioxide. And when you do that, you already have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of viruses inside of you that live in your belly anyway. And what happens is you put your body in distress and you awaken some of those viruses. On top of that, you're calling COVID-19 to you because your carbon dioxide levels are extremely high. It makes you more susceptible. So don't wear the mask unless you're coughing or sneezing and you're sick and you're going to be spraying on people. Don't wear the mask because you need to get rid of that dirty oxygen. And if you're breathing that dirty oxygen in, you're doing yourself more harm than good. Bing, you know, like, duh. You know, that made total sense, right? Now, the only difference, everybody's heard it because it's not a secret, but the only difference in it resonating with me is because I wasn't fixated on wearing the mask. I was more fixated on, or more focused on, what made sense and connecting dots. And the dots for me was, well, if I'm going to pass out from wearing the mask, I'm not doing myself any good. And so because I was open to some suggestion and I wasn't fearful of not wearing the mask, it allowed that truthful information to seep in and for me to be able to walk around without necessarily being paranoid, because I was a little bit paranoid at first because I was kind of unconscious. I had some other things on my mind, and this is what happens to us all the time in relationships. It happens on the job. It happens when we're just going about our day and we're not paying attention, and these messages deposit in our heads, and we're just on autopilot, right? And then some of us, it clicks. No, don't do that. And some just keep going right over the cliff, you know. So I just thought I would share that.
Yeah, good share. I trust somebody heard you. I trust.
It's just not about to wear the mask or not wear the mask. I think what it is think for yourself. See what fits for your situation and do it based on what inspires you and not what triggers you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the difference. We're being triggered and not inspired. And I think that the triggering and reacting leads to irrational behavior. And even the ones that do end up with it, you know, it's like some people, based on their mindset, based on their previous way that they kept their bodies. See, this is a test of discipline, I think, all the way around, because whether you get sick or not is not really the issue. Just like any other time, people think, oh, if you eat healthy, if you do the right things, if you exercise and get enough rest, you're not ever going to get sick, or you're not ever going to get cancer, or you're not ever going to get some kind of disease. It's not true. It's how you handle it when
mm-hmm.
you get it and how you come through it. See, it coming through something, whether it be a bad marriage or an illness or a layoff on a job, going through a poverty experience, how you go through it is, I think, more important than whether it happens or not, you know.
True.
Yeah. So I am interested to hear how do we, because we are talking about how women determine the quality of their relationships. Now, this isn't just about male-female, because a lot of us women, we're, like you say, we're the social leaders. You know, we determine the social climate of everything. So we can change the climate around what's going on now. We can change the climate around our relationships. What is the first thing that we need to do in order to change the climate?
Like I say, everything goes back to, for me, it goes back to updates.
Mm-hmm.
Getting information. Information that is makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
The regular way it makes sense. And it works. The quote I heard once was, every woman has the type of relationship she wants. And I pondered on that, and I thought about it, and with my curiosity and wanted to have, well, I know what, now why. So I was always this why kid, but why?
Mm-hmm.
Give me a reason, and then I can go somewhere and ponder that. Well, when I pondered the quote, every woman has the relationship she wants, I would say every woman has the relationship she chooses, that she will,
mm-hmm.
that she's responsible for, and it's going to be up to her. And so having the information, first of all, that is kind of scientific. That is, this is the way it works, whether you are a brunette, whether you are brown-haired, whether you are what they call shapely, or blah, that doesn't matter, because men actually do look at something else, and I'm going to say with the male, female for a moment. Men actually do look at something else that we, when they're looking at us. And they're looking past what you have on.
Yes,
you,
ma'am.
We found out a long time ago that don't dress for them. And I don't think
right.
we do. I think we dress for other people. Some of us dress for ourselves, but most of us dress, once again, that mimicking thing is there. And we don't want to be the people that's outside looking in that bothers us. We get, see, we're social creatures. We're like creatures. Because it takes us off the hook. We can just relax now and be a creature. But we're social creatures and we're mortal creatures. Every woman has a relationship She chooses. She invents. She creates. She wills. She's not in one. That's because she has not created one.
Right.
She has not willed one. She has not chosen to be in one. It's up to her. So the one that she chooses to be, the one that she's in, I don't care how it works, to me it may look totally insane. And I know some that do. But she is, that's the one that she has created.
Right.
And if it's not going according to, if it's not, I think two things, being pleased and being grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasingly grateful, gratefully pleased. If she's not pleased and she's not grateful, that's when it's time for her to change it, to change.
Right.
She does a change within herself. You can't look at him. Can't look at this specimen over here. Leave him out of it. He's just there for the ride right now.
Right.
You, the woman, because we set the tone for everything when it comes to socialization on this planet.
Yeah.
And the health of, you want to know the health of a, you want to know the health of a nation or family, community, whatever it is, look to the women.
Look to the women. That's right.
Look to the women. I mean, it's left up to us. And the moment we get what I just said, it's left up to us.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a relationship that you are not being pleased and you're not grateful for. Stay with it. I don't say leave it. Stay with it. And change.
Mm-hmm.
And you change, as Candy said earlier, get curious. You become a little more mutable, a little more creative. Find out what it is, what type of relationship do you, maybe it was okay for you 20 years ago. Your mind was more focused on parenting. Now your mind is more focused on romance.
Mm-hmm.
Children all doing their thing now. It's not just the two of us. I like that song, Just the Two of Us. It's like the way Bill Withers sang it too.
Yeah.
I like that song. Okay, now it's just the two of us. And I think I know it's at any juncture in our relationship, whether we're parenting, living room, that plays a part too, but it's always just the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's going to always be just the two of you. The children, yes, they're there, and they have a very important focus, and it should be. But when you forget that it's just the two of us, and the things that we say we need from a man when we are parenting, we need a lot for the children.
All right.
Okay, we need him to do a lot because we're parenting. Okay, so as you evolve, the children grow older, you get comfortable with each other. And you forget each other, and now you want to be remembered.
Mm-hmm.
Well, go back to the beginning. What was it about you that he couldn't live without? Because he went and got papers with you. That's a key right there. He went to the state, and he got papers with you. This is a...
Mm-hmm.
This is a show in itself. What was it about? I'm going to say with me. What was it about my ex-husband that he would go to the courthouse with me and get himself financially and legally bound to me and with me? What was it about
right.
me
mm-hmm.
that he would do that? Because there's no law that said that they have to do that.
Right.
Why do men do that? And why do they stay? You know, we change, our body changes, they say. They may look someplace else. They may even go someplace else. But they, you know, they come back. I'm talking about the when they stay. It has
now,
to
let me just throw this in there on that, because that's really important what you're saying. I've talked to men, and the men that I've talked to, and this is what confuses women, and I just had this conversation not too long ago, and I've had it over the last couple of decades because it's been something that has really puzzled me, because it also explains infidelity and a whole lot of other stuff. But the men that I've talked to and asked them, especially the ones who marry and then divorce, or who are married and not necessarily happy, but they're not leaving.
Mm-hmm.
They said that they marry based on circumstances and not based on love. And that many of them have left women that they've loved dearly for women that fit the circumstance that they were in at that time. So let's say a man may be struggling, trying to get through med school, and there's a woman that's there, and she's with him and supporting him and paying for the bills and just the backbone. And, you know, he's started out really loving her and everything, and, you know, but circumstances changed, and he ends up leaving and marrying someone who fits his new circumstance. And then women are like dumbfounded, like, wow. Or he marries someone that he says that he really, really loves and doesn't want to marry anyone else, but yet he cheats with someone else. And very vigorously cheats, but not leaving because circumstances are this and that's that, you know. And the women are left dumbfounded, like, wow, you know, I know I'm not mistaken by, you know, what I feel with him. I know that he feels this way, but I think two women in mistake the passion and the romance. They're all way over in left field with that. And men, while they're like, oh, that feels great, wonderful, they're able to kind of bring themselves back down to earth and deal with what is and move forward with that. And I noticed that even when I raised my son and my daughter, my daughter is always going with, you know, this feels good, this feels great, and this is fun, and I really like it. Now, this is just, I'm generalizing. Whereas I notice my son is pretty much like, this is good enough. This is good enough. And my daughter's always just really confused, like, good enough? Like, don't you want more? Don't you want to do more? Don't you, you know? And my son is like, no, this is kind of in the pocket, you know. And it seems like men are just like, they just kind of want to be comfortable, whereas women are like, oh, this is such a storybook romance. How come you don't want to do this? You know. So I just noticed that in conversation, men are more about circumstances and, you know, what's just going to fit that circumstance more so than they are love in general. We have exceptions, but what do you think about that? What sense do you make of that?
We tend to be illogical.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. Men are usually, the males are usually more logical, so they're looking mm-hmm. from a logical point of view. We are a mismatch of emotions. Give us a second and we've changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel good this moment. I don't feel good. So we're kind of, as one guy said, you're all schizophrenic.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a lot of hormonal things going on. We're carrying babies. We got periods.
Right,
it's
right,
a whole lot of stuff
right.
going on in there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think that is the gulf that between us. There's a wide gulf between the male and the female. And there's an agitation there that is the attraction. We tend to be more romantic than men. I think we probably will express it. We express
uh-huh.
it with such passion and emotion. Because
right.
when I listen to some of the love songs that I really like,
mm-hmm.
they're written by men.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can't.
Definitely.
I can't say that because when Anita Baker sings Good Love, that's written by a man.
Mm-hmm.
And we know Lionel Richie wrote a lot of love. See, that's what I'm saying.
He was the first thing that came to my mind. He was the first one.
See, he wrote a lot of. I don't think it has anything to. I think it's individuals. I think the men, I don't think it's a, I think of my sons. I think my sons are very romantic.
Mm-hmm.
They're my sons.
Mm-hmm.
And I see how they are with females. And I would, you know, I've had them ask me, how do they get to be that way? I think it has something to do with me and me allowing them that was okay for them to express tender emotions, that you didn't have to bottle them up. I want to know because I would do a simple thing like, what do you want to eat? And the dad would say, don't ask him that. That's easier for me. That's easier. I got to cook anyway. It doesn't matter. So they grew up with a mother that allowed them to have a say-so, and they could express to me their emotion. They could express to me if I did something they didn't like either. I gave them, and then there were things that is one of them said, but you know, when you said something, it was love. There was no discussion. But at the same time, I would allow them to tell me if it hurt emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Even today, they are like 49 and 50. I still allow them that wide range like I do everybody else. You can tell me. And I just think that with men are more logical. So I think their romantic logic, it flows, is there. But once again, I go back to the girl. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's what's more important to you is to have someone that you can depend on and not going to take a chance on writing love songs that may have not ever get published. Please back that up. Or do you
right.
want a man that's going to go on and get his med's degree, get a good job? You know, you want one and he's going to go and get a good job. See, we forget. See, women do that circumstance thing, too. It's
all
not
right.
just the males. Like, one woman told me, now, I was in love with him, don't get me wrong, but he wasn't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I went and got me a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that opportunist, you know, I call that the opportunity love.
Mm-hmm.
Women do it, I think, men don't know women do this, but we do this. We look for, he's not going to provide. I want to have children. He doesn't care about living in his car.
Right.
I'm turning that off. Yeah, I like him. I'm in love with him. But no. And then I can't bring him home to my grandmother either.
Mm-hmm.
See, so we do that as well. We show, I beg the difference. Somebody had to convince me that, because I've been here about a month. I don't think women are ever surprised about what her boyfriend, her husband, or whatever is doing.
Yes.
If he's cheating, I don't think that he's been cheating a while, and you know he's cheating. You know he's a cheater when you got him. They do not work that job that hard. Men are basically lazy. If they were not, we would not have any machinery on this planet. So they're not going to work that hard. He's not going to hide from you. Eventually, you can find out, because he's not going to hide that much. They don't work that hard. They really don't. They're very simple. I don't know why we try to make them so complex. Food, clothes, shelter, transportation, fuel, sex. Did I miss one?
it's a small list.
So now it's up to us what we're going to do with it.
And it rarely changes.
Oh, no, it's not going to change. He may change for the conversation, but you put him, you give him some truth serum, you give him some of the truth. He goes, well, yeah, that's right. Sure. He's not going to work that hard at that. That's our job. We work hard. They don't work hard. That's why they should take care of us financially, because they're good at that. They're so much better at that than we are. Why? His emotions are not rumbling every second of the day. He can stand there with his boots on and just not move. You got to go around it and see how tall it is, how it feels, it looks like. He says, well, what do you want the sofa? She says, oh, I don't know. And he sits down. He takes a seat. He says, because I'm only going to move it once. We're not trying. That wall, visualize it on each wall. I love them. They are so simple, and yet they're so wonderful in their simplicity. So we're not getting what we want from them. It's on us. We need some information. We don't know the way that we are. We were made to be this way. He finds the flounce and the bounce to be alluring. So when you don't do the flounce and the bounce, he's looking for the flounce and the bounce somewhere else, because he can't flounce and bounce.
Right.
He's not looking for you to compete with him on any level, because you won't win unless you're having a baby. There is no competition here between us. We can let that go, too. We, females, we wanted monogamy, and we finally got it. Now we're throwing it away, and now we're mad at him. You got it? Okay, let me back up. Monogamy requires self-denial. And it doesn't come without a price, male and female. See, what makes monogamous relationships so divine between a man and a woman is because you get a chance to see monopoly work at its best for the good of all. It's one partner caring more about that other person than themselves. It's about allowing love to flow and dominate for the greater good that affects our whole world. It's about seeing your best self. It's about being your best self for another person. It's love unleashed. It's about flooding the land with beauty and goodness and kindness and truth. It's about tapping into those creative resources to solve problems and to serve the world on a global scale as a team. And this team has a monopoly mentality. And the monopoly is they have control over each other and they have control with each other. Now, if you've ever seen that work between a man and a woman, you've topped the charts. because that's why on the planet, because we are not that generous to each other. We are really selfish. We are some selfish creatures. I want what I want, and I want it now, and I don't care how I get it. Now, some of us say we're not. But the moment you admit that you're selfish, then you can choose out of it. But one of us said, I'm not, yes, you are. We born selfish. Babies cry, and they see you sitting down, resting, and they start crying. See what I'm saying? We're born like this way, and we have to work at not being this way. So monogamy, this monopoly, is about living your life in such a way that it inspires, because the ego has a proper place. And so we're ego-driven, and the ego is trying to find its proper place. It finds such a wonderful place to retire in a monogamous relationship between a man and a woman. Because loyalty through completely loving another person, relinquishing that control of just me, myself, and I, free to love and be loved, is man's greatest union. That's the greatest thing we've done on this planet, is the family. And families are really protected when men and women, husband and wives, are loyal to each other.
Right.
They don't cheat, because what it will do to the family.
Mm-hmm.
That's a denial. He has to deny himself. She has to deny herself. You know, for me, I like mental stimulation. And to have a man that does not mentally stimulate me.
Yeah.
But he does everything else. That means I got to deny myself. I can't go next door and get Charlie, because Charlie likes to talk. No, I got to stay here with him, because I'm committed to this loyalty, free to love and be loved.
Now, when you talk about the family, we also talk about the third thing. For those who've already had their families and there was no loyalty and it's gone and disintegrated on some level, how do you get the third thing with someone, or what is the third thing?
Oh, the third thing. The third thing is a thing that really keeps us together. Because they will turn in, put it all on each other. Boredom sets in. But if we got something else that we are both interested in, and sometimes I've seen it work, where, and I live this myself. The third thing was a business between me and I. That was our third thing. And when that third thing disappeared, he disappeared. We were bonded. The third thing for a lot of people with their parenting is the children. The third thing could be gardening, but you both have to have interest in it, and it has to be 100%. You both got to put 100% into it. The third thing is finding out who got the peas. The men do better with the peas. Producer, protector, provider. Let's not take that away from them. Let's not try to be better at that than them.
Now I saw this video where this guy, younger guy, was talking about women independent women. And he was like, you know, no man wants an independent woman that's independent. He wants to be able to do this and he wants to be able to do that. And, you know, that's a double-edged sword because when I was growing up, I used to always wonder why some men wouldn't let the woman pull her chair out or open her door or do certain things on her own. You know, she very well can get up on her own. She very well can open a door on her own. She can get out of the car on her own. She's not crippled or anything. And I was young. I was like, why do they do that? Why do they do that? Well, as I got older, I was like, especially once I got my divorce, because there was a shift that had to take place as I began to be the head of household and had to do everything pretty much. And in that shift, a woman is in pretty much survival mode. So she's doing it from a whole nother place. She's not doing it because she's trying to prove her independence. You know, she's doing it because she has to. So she's in another mindset. So it is to the male's advantage not to let women do certain things, even if he's not with her. No, ma'am, I got that for you. No, ma'am, you don't have to carry that. I'll take that for you. No, ma'am, I got it. Does something to the psyche of the woman that allows her to be soft and allows her. So if a woman has to do those things and she hasn't necessarily taken that from the man, but he kind of like gave it up or whatever, you have to give the woman, that the women that are listening, some suggestions. I have watched my mother and my grandmother, and I noticed that they ask me, and, sir, can you please get the door for me?
That's right.
Sir, can you please reach that for me? That's so high. Can you please help me?
Mm-hmm.
And I used to watch my mother, and I'd be like, why is she doing that? You know what I'm saying? But it keeps her soft. And it keeps that male energy flowing so that she continues to attract that. And men see that, and everywhere she goes, they're like, ma'am, no, I got it, because they feel that in her. So do you suggest that women do that?
I sure do.
Mm-hmm.
Wholeheartedly. You just allow them to do what they're good at, the heavy lifting. Even if you can't, save it for when no one else is around you.
Yeah.
Save your energy. If he's around, maybe you're out with just the girls, and you need that. But when he's around, let him do it. Because if not, some of them will stand there and watch you do it. I've seen them.
They will.
Yeah. They will sit back.
They will.
They will take a text and just watch you do it. They won't think anything of it as they watch you do it. So if you're in an environment where the men are still sensitive, they're still sensitive to that, I want you to remain soft. I want you to be soft. I want you to talk soft. I want you to look soft. That doesn't make you weak.
Not at all.
It's like I wrote to my man and I said, you know, that thought of you keeps walking through my mind. It's in my heart. Like a ballet moving to the rhythm of a sweet melody. Like dandelions flowing in the wind. And whimsical, my heart softly whispers, dance on, my amazing prince. You do so many wonderful things. My love for you grows and grows. I was thinking about my wonderful conversation with you. Oh, my God.
Wasn't that an awesome conversation?
Yeah.
And when two creative minds get together, this is what I'm talking about. Like, we connect these dots that
yes.
within like 15 minutes, we've connected
yes.
dots that take people lifetimes. And we're like,
and men,
wow.
Yeah.
yeah.
Men and women, they,
mm-hmm.
male and female, make the best, they make the best team.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he's normal and not lazy, even if he's lazy, he can grin, he can look at that thing you're trying to do and give you a logical solution in no time.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he,
that's
even
true.
If he's not going to offer you to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And we can bring that nurturing side without even blinking our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And say, oh, wait, you sound like Goldilocks. That's too hard. That's too hard. Oh, that's too something. We got that too thing. They got that. Yeah, I looked at it, and yeah, that is just right. So
mm-hmm.
they have that logical built in. If he's normal, if he's a normal human being,
mm-hmm.
creature, he's born with that logic. We cannot take that away from him. And if they're not using it in your world, try to step back, let the control go. The things that we thought that we had been taught that we need to do. You know, just, we got so many I need to things as females. We can take some of them off the list. What you think of, what can you do? You allow yourself to, you think soft. You think beauty, you think goodness, you think love, you think truth, you think kindness. You think about being loving and lovable. We set the tone. It's up to us.
Mm-hmm.
It really is up to us.
And I mean, honestly, that's what I've always been told, and you at some point you reject that when you are, you know, going through, especially in your 20s and
mm-hmm.
30s, and you start going through those cycles of life, and you say, they lied. That's not true. You know, I tried to set the tone, and it didn't work, so I'm going to do it like this. And then you go back, because I think what happens is we look for these immediate results rather
yeah.
than looking at the big picture. We want things to work
yeah.
out for us personally rather than on a societal level. And when things don't work out personally, then we throw the baby out with the bathwater and we feel like this doesn't work, and then society suffers. So. It suffers because then you're like, oh, that, I tried that. That didn't work. So you don't teach your daughters. You don't, daughters don't
mm-hmm.
teach their daughters. And then
mm-hmm.
you don't teach your sons. And then the fathers
mm-hmm.
don't teach their sons. And then, you know, then you find out, oh, then you got to go back to the basics. Because even though the planet itself goes through changes and we're all connected to it and we're all connected to each other, no matter what, they're basic principles that remain the same. And I notice that we go according to these feelings and we just constantly are shifting back and forth and we try to change the principles. And then when we hit brick walls, then we fall back on the principles. And then when we don't see those results, we wonder why. It's because we're totally out of alignment with them. We haven't planted the seeds. The generations have forgotten, but innately they know. So you have this whole remembrance, this innate of knowing, but at the same time, the way of being is so out of alignment that people are confused because the universe never changes, the nature never
mm-hmm.
changes, the animals
mm-hmm.
never change. Everything
mm-hmm.
pretty much stays the same. But, and we said this before, but man gets these brilliant ideas, and we say, oh, let's try it like this or let's try it like that. And then it works for a while. We think we stumbled upon something brilliant. And then after a generation, it blows completely up, because even when you think about what women had to do when their husbands were off to war, I noticed mm-hmm. that when my grandmother's sister, her husband went off to war, World War II, and he was gone for 5 years. She had to raise those children by herself, and when he came back, the baby didn't even know who he was. Well, she never left the principal. So when he came back, even though she was technically a single woman for 5 years, when he came back, she allowed him to assume his rightful place, and she never said, mm-hmm. "You know, you've been gone for 5 years, and you ain't done mm-hmm. nothing. I did this all by myself," mm-hmm. and blah blah blah. She remained in her position, and he just took his spot, and he picked right up, you know, where he left off. And I think what happens as women, we get tired, we waver. We say, let's try this, let's try that, let's try to be both, let's try to do it all. And we wear ourselves completely out. Mm-hmm. And we narrow this position down to someone we love, and we hang all of our dreams and hopes on that. And when that doesn't work, we throw all the principles away, when the same principle that stood for the relationship, the personal relationship, also stands for your neighbor down the street, you know,
mm-hmm.
the boy in the grocery store. Honey, can you please help me with my groceries? And, you know, I'm having a hard time, rather than, I got it, I can do it by myself, you know. It is some power in that. And I think to get women to see that power is, because when you talk about a queen doesn't do all the work. You know, people always talk about, I'm a queen, I'm a queen. Queens don't do all the work. Queens delegate. Do they not?
They delegate.
They delegate.
They delegate. Look at the beehive.
They delegate. So
I do.
What do you have to say about delegating?
It's a way to do it. It's a way to say it. And we could slow down. We're moving too fast. And we take our feet off the gas. And there's like a competition, though. Enjoy the moment. Recognize that. I mean, this is because we individuals as well, and we are products of our environment. Some men naturally don't mind you just saying, well, honey, will you? Because if that's the way he was, you know, he was with women. My youngest brother, he eight girls, and he is the baby. So he had all these females older than him. So he's used to females telling him what to do, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you grew up in an environment where maybe you had the type of community or village where you didn't see the females delegating, or they did, but they did it in such a harsh way. The male child may be suffering from that environment.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on the environment, and that's why we have to really investigate our potential mate. Like, what kind of environment is he from? Now, I grew up in a house where my parents were really liberal thinkers. Now, if I go and get with a man who they were more, you know, they was the curiosity. They didn't encourage their children to look under the rock, and they made decisions for them. Well, chances are, the man that I say that I want to be with, if his experience with women were different from the ones that I grew up in, all of my mother was very opinionated. Okay? She let my dad know when she was not pleased. And so consequently, that's me. I'll let you know when I'm pleased, I'll let you know when I'm not going to do it. My mother was always gentle and ladylike, and she did it most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So delegating for some women is very hard, and that goes back to, I think, childhood. And it's also very hard for some males to be delegated. They don't want you telling them what to do.
They don't want you telling them. And those aren't the ones.
You gotta know.
Because if that woman has the best interest of everyone, if she does, we're not talking about just some bossy woman who you cannot please. She's unhappy.
Right.
She's, you know, and that's what I tell men when I'm talking to them, you know, like if they say, oh, well, she's just too bossy, you know, okay, do you trust her? Do you feel like she has the best interest of the family in mind? Or is she asking you to do things that, no, but I want to do it when I get ready to do it. Now, the men that I've seen that are married and have been married for a long time, they do it and get it out of the way and go on and go play nine rounds of golf and go do their thing, right? Even if they, like we talked about, cheating, they hurry up and do whatever the woman asks them to do and they go visit their girlfriend down the street. Get it out of the way, you know. But if that man has a chip on his shoulder about women, and I was just said this to someone, in order to be in relationship, you have to truly love not the person or the individual, but you got to love that gender. You have to love,
you gotta love that gender.
You got to love
you
that gender.
True.
Because a lot of men like sex, but they don't like women. A lot of women like the sex, but they don't like men. So when the man comes out in them, they can't stand it. And when a woman comes out in a woman, that man can't stand it. And it's until you integrate that masculine, feminine inside of you and you say, you know what, I understand it, I accept it, it's okay, that's how they are. And I notice that men that really love women, they let a lot of the things that women do that get under the average man's skin roll completely off their back. And they just say that's just how they are. They roll with
that's
it and keep on moving, you know. But the ones who stay stuck on it, why do they do that? Why do they do that? I don't understand why they do that. See, you know what? That gets on my nerves. He doesn't realize it, but he is projecting that same feminine energy that he's complaining about by complaining, you
yes,
know.
Yes.
But the truly masculine man, I notice, doesn't get his feathers ruffled at all by that feminine energy at all. He ignores it, really. And the woman knows she's being ignored. She's like, he doesn't pay me any attention. He knows I got to get it off my chest. And he goes out and does whatever he's going to do, you know. So what do you have to say in regards to to the men who do complain about, quote unquote, demanding women? What is that? What is that? And what is a demanding woman? Clarify all of that, because some of that gets lost in people's personal opinions.
I always, most of the time I go back to the man and his mama.
Yeah. There you go.
Woman, If you could, you would get the way he is with his mama.
Yeah.
You know, the people meet my sons and they'll say, oh, they love their mama. Well, they don't love women. So I've had men attracted to me, and the first thing I want to get is I listen to what he has to say about his mama.
Me too.
That's the first. If he has a problem with her, he's going to have a problem with me.
Yeah.
There is nothing that I'm really going to do that will please him. And I got to, you know, I got to make sure that I don't forget that. Because when something comes up, and if we you know, we got this dividing line, that's the way they are. Is that the way they are endearing?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that the way they are is lovable? And I'm glad she's that way, because I would not want to have me beside me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I like the flounce and the bounce. But when he says that's the way they are, is it derogatory? Is it demeaning? Is mm-hmm. My eyes have always been back to the men and their mama.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I want to know what he thinks about his mama. I want to know what he has, you know, how did she treat him? Did she allow him self-expression? Now we're talking about setting a moral tone. That's our job. She's the moral standard bearer. So mm-hmm. if he cannot tolerate me, go find his mama.
Yeah.
And see how they were together.
Yeah.
The hand that rocks the cradle still fraternizes with destiny. The woman is a standard. She sets that moral tone. She's a spiritual leader of mankind. Not males, women, females. We are the spiritual leaders of mankind. Not them, because
mm-hmm.
we set the tone.
Mm-hmm.
We walk the cradle. And it's like, I'm not healthy. If I'm not healthy, if she's not healthy, if she's not happy, the whole house. You know, remember the song Luther did? Big Hat Religion?
Yes. Yes.
The woman, you know, just the house, she left the house. She had to go and get her Big Hat Religion.
Mm-hmm.
Man got some liquor on it. Okay. What do I say? If you got a demanding woman, you got she can't delegate to you. Go look at your
Hello?
Mom.
Oh, okay. I thought you went out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm still here. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the woman, I just keep, we need to get this. First of all, marriage was not founded on sex relationships. We need to cross that one out.
Marriage was not founded on what relationships?
Sex relationships.
Uh-huh.
That's not what marriage was founded on.
Mm-hmm.
They were already having sex. See, we already have sex before we get married, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very
mm-hmm.
few people don't have sex before they get married.
Right.
Okay, it's like learning how to drive. You can't get a driver's license, so you're driving without a license anyway before you go get a driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage was not needed by our ancestors. They indulged in sex freely.
Mm-hmm.
They were not encumbered with the responsibility of wife and children. That came later. And then now we're stuck, like our primitive ancestors. The female has kind of gone back there, like she has her children all without, I don't need him. You need them to get them. Or you need them to help you raise them. So don't go crazy now. It was okay
mm-hmm.
for you to lie within. He's okay for you to help you raise. All right, that's another show. Now, this
mm-hmm.
this physical attachment and this emotional attachment that we have is
mm-hmm.
we have a physical and emotional attachment to children. That's innate in us. And we need sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
We need hunt gatherers, providers,
right.
Protectors,
mm-hmm.
preservers. So we're dependent on a cooperation with the mayor. And
mm-hmm.
this moves us toward wanting to have shelter for our children.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not our chemistry that made us want to build a home and be married. It's that belonging, wanting to share, the need for the emotional attachment. And it works better if you just do it with one at a time instead of the whole village. And if you're
right.
having the whole village, it's what I tell women. This is how you can stop him. Tell him he can't afford two people. He can't afford two women. He can't. Emotionally, he can't. Financially,
yeah.
he can't.
Mm-hmm.
It was not love that made men attracted to marriage. It's not love. So we can drop that one. It's not the love. But you
mm-hmm.
already said that. That's not going to make him want. He wants the shelter that we provide in our tender, schizophrenic, bipolar emotions. He finds
mm-hmm.
comfort in that because it's not in him.
Right.
That's innate in us.
Right.
Marriage was not even brought about by a conscious realization of the obligations to sex.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not what produced it. So if we get this and really understand it, it would be easy for us to go to monogamy. It's not about sex. It wasn't even about the children. It's
mm-hmm.
about something else that you want her exclusively and you want to announce it to the world. Hands off. That's what we have a ceremony out in public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you can't.
I need everybody to know this. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you can't really tend to home if you're tending to everywhere else. You know,
you're not going to do it. We don't do that.
You can't do that. You can't. It's impossible because, and women in particular. They get swept away definitely by their emotions, so they're not able to compartmentalize a lot of the times and kind of fall off when they try to do it. Men are so busy conquesting and hunting, and then their woman is being hunted by someone else, and they're not paying attention to who's coming in the back door. It's just really not possible unless you're in it for higher reasons and it is a part of a culture. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but people who try it and fail over and over and over and over and over, they just don't seem to get it, even if there are casualties of children laying on the side of the road. They just keep going on and on and on and on. You know, and I think subconsciously that's why I hadn't remarried, because I was thinking, wow, you know, at some point someone has to stop the bleeding. Now, for me, stopping the bleeding was getting the tubes tied and never marrying again. You know, I didn't realize how mm-hmm. radical that was. But because I was so committed to the family portion of it, and I realized that, you know, okay, we have to shift and do it another way now. I just cut that part off, and then when my kids were grown and gone, and then I looked around and was looking like, okay, I really didn't want to do this again, but maybe I do, right? But I've cut myself completely off, and I had to reopen that area again, because with that shutting that down, I shut down other valuable things as well,
Yes.
And so
yes.
I had to go back and reopen all of that because there are goodies in there for me too, right? So while I'm thinking I'm being all smart and everything by shutting that part of myself down, I was really depriving myself. And maybe you could even call it self-punishment because, you know, bad you. You made a terrible decision and you just don't even deserve to just go out here and do this anymore because you didn't do it right the first time, you know. That was the initial thought, like fear. Well, I don't want to do that again. Let's shut that off. But there's so much juice in opening up to love and commitment that whether you ever commit in another relationship again, there's some things in there for you that you need. So you got to open that door again. And so many people have shut that door and don't even realize it. So I think opening the door of love, just opening it up, doesn't have to be anybody special in there, doesn't have to be all or nothing, it doesn't have to be the person of your dreams standing there waiting with open arms, but opening that door is so crucial, and so many people have shut that door.
I know.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's really sad when I see it because we are responsible for the next generation. And you can, when you look to see what kind of legacy that will be passed on to the next generation and the quality of family, the quality of even friendship, male, female bonding like couples. There are some hard things. We got some tough things on the plate for us, and they gonna come with a price. There's
right.
a price to be paid. You got to pay toll, and part of that toll is self denial.
Mm-hmm.
Not denying yourself of basic human needs like food, clothes, shelter, transportation, and fuel, but denying yourself of, it's like not asking the guy to help you, like, will you come by and help me? Will you reach that on the shelf for me? When I go to the store, I'm always looking for the tall men because there's always something on the top shelf that I need.
Mm-hmm.
And to open the door for me, it's like opening a door for love. And being in a relationship, if you want your soft side to come out, and we do need a soft side to come out, to have a soft side to come out and for it to really be the way you want it to be, it's going to have to be with a man.
Right.
I mean, it's like, we're supposed to be this way all the time, but to get it validated and to get it cherished, to have someone to give you that thorough, lasting, long, complete hug.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. I mean, have you ever had that where he takes you?
Right.
And you're standing there.
Here you go, Dora. Now you don't know who's listening. We don't need any. Dora's calling them in. You're calling them in.
You're standing there, and he pulls you into him, and he's just like, oh wow, and then he caresses you and holds you.
Mhm.
It's like complete. Oh. Hug. I put out a text one day and I asked him, have you had that complete?
Yes,
sorrow?
Ma'am.
Hug. I mean, it's complete. And he holds you. You get held.
Yeah.
That's what I like about them. See,
let me sit into you.
Let me sit into you. into you.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think about it even when I was a little girl and sitting on my grandfather's lap and my father's lap, and it was always very, very different. You felt completely engulfed, you know?
Yes.
And it wasn't like I was sleepy. Like, when I would, like, sit on my mother's lap, I would go to sleep. But when I sat on my dad's lap or my grandfather's lap, I was extremely alive and entertained, and they would read and talk and, you know. Okay, so when you're with a woman and she's cleaning up or she's doing something, like when I would sit on my mom's lap, it was like, oh, let me put her to sleep so she can go to bed and get out of the way, right? But men have a way of compartmentalizing, where when you sit with them, they're present with you. They're present right
there.
They're present right there with you. Yeah, they're not thinking about work. They're not thinking about what they just finished. You could go out in the middle of yard work while they're doing it. They'll sit for, if it's nothing but 10 minutes, and completely focus on you. They're not multitasking. They're not doing anything. And for young girls who've never experienced that, it's kind of sad, because you really get to feel what it feels like to be focused upon. And when you grow up and that man is not focused on you, you can feel it right away. You're like,
You sure can.
You're like, no, you're not focused.
Mm-mm.
Sorry.
You're not focused. I can tell. I've had this before. This is not it.
That's not it.
No, my dad didn't do this. This is, where are you? It's like, oh, now. And so it's like, when you get this, it's like the phone. Nothing has ever felt like this before. Nothing has ever meant the whole world to me. Nothing has ever been this good. And nothing has ever been right.
Nothing so sweet in my life.
Nothing has ever been. See what I'm saying? So you, that's something that you treasure. I know that you treasure me. So you get that hug at that moment. Like you said, he's not multitasking. They one track. You know, they choose to do one thing at a time. So he's going to give you that thoroughly complete hug. He's not thinking about anything else.
Yeah.
And I just let myself go.
Yeah.
I just, like, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, you know what? Time flies by. We only have 2 minutes left. but, of course, we'll continue this conversation. And we'll have some more juicy stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
What I really enjoy is that you always remind women of the power and softness. And you can still be firm. You can still say what you like, what you don't like, what you feel, what you don't feel, what you expect, what you don't expect. Be afraid of, you know, being rejected or ignored. It's like, I said it, and I didn't have to scream, and I didn't have to kick, and I didn't have to punch. Like my mother used to always say, don't worry about what they are doing. Worry about what you're going to do. You know, because that's the only thing you can control is you. What you're going to do. You know, but when you try to do their job and your job, that's when you're going to get frustrated. That's when you're going to get frustrated. So I will come up with some more questions for you. So when we talk next time, we will be able to even expand this, because this is something that needs to be talked about, because the feminine energy, just in general, is becoming greater in men and women, and it's like there's this shift happening, and no one knows what to do with it, you know? No one knows what to do with it, because things have changed so much. So in the meantime, we will continue this conversation next week.
All right. That sounds good to me. I just want to end with this. When I'm with my prince, I tell him, I feel the woman inside of me when I'm with you.
Wow. Yeah.
That's what I tell him.
That's
it. I just saw her. And
yeah.
She's soft.
Mm-hmm.
And alluring and kind and generous.
Yeah. Well, I will end with that, and I will carry that soft woman with me until next week. And, Dora, love you, and you have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the week.
Thank you. Loving you back. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.